Good morning. Welcome to EMP this morning. Let's quickly pray before we get into the passage for this morning. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We pray, God, that as we go into your word, as we worship, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fill us. That these words that we read would strike deep into our hearts, will convict us, God, would continue its transforming work, Lord. And as we worship, Father, may we give you all our praise, all of the glory and honor to you. Now, Lord, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to fill us and to continue your work within us, Lord. May you give us joy, Lord, and give us peace. We thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Today we're going to be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm just going to read verses 12 to 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. So in this passage, Paul gives a quick articulation of the gospel in contrast to false teaching that was happening at Ephesus. So he's instructing Timothy to teach the church at Ephesus what the gospel really is, and so he gives a warning in verse 3 to 11. This is what they're teaching, and this is how you should counter it. And then Paul gives a quick articulation of actually what the gospel is, what are the kinds of things he should be teaching, and he gives his own life story. And very quickly, despite his past, we know this whenever you read the book of Acts, despite his past, Paul was shown mercy and from Jesus, and that his grace was more than abundant for his life. So by the time Paul is writing in 1 Timothy, all the events of Acts have passed. And as you can see, just by looking at Paul's story in Acts, there's really a lot of grace displayed towards Paul, from establishing churches, from being saved, from being shipwrecked, and from, you know, being stoned and escaping people who wanted to kill him. But what's important for Paul is that this display of mercy that he receives isn't just for him, but it's that he would be an example of what God does in everyone's lives that believes in Christ Jesus. And it's interesting, verse 12, I think this is such a key verse for this passage, is Paul says that he considered me faithful. That word considered, it's not like, oh, I think Paul is faithful, or I look at what Paul is or what kind of person Paul is, and like, yeah, I guess he is faithful, you know, based on his character and this and that. The word faithful in Greek is, I'm going to butcher this, but it's hegeomai. I think I said it right. It's not only just considered, but it can also be translated as regard or deemed. It's a verb that has kind of like two meanings, but it makes sense. But this verb can also mean to have rule or to have authority over, to regard and to reckon. So it's in a way, it's a verb that says, this is the way things are because I say it is. And it's interesting. It makes perfect sense in the context, because Paul is saying, God considered me faithful. God regarded me as faithful. God reckoned me as faithful. God has a rule and authority to say that I am faithful. So he did it, not based on anything that Paul did, but just because God said so. And when you consider the meaning of this word considered, he considered me faithful. He reckoned Paul as faithful. He regarded Paul as faithful. It brings up memories of what the Bible says about Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 6. It writes, then he believed in the Lord, this is Abraham, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Abraham was considered to be faithful. God considered Paul to be faithful. And so the same thing for Abraham, or how God viewed Abraham, is the same way that God views Paul. Paul's faithfulness wasn't from his own accord, but simply because God deemed it so. And the point is driven home even the more so as Paul lifts up his transgression against the Lord in verse 13, that he was a blasphemer, persecutor, and a violent aggressor. And despite all these things, God still considers Paul faithful. So it's really something that God does. And as Paul puts it, it was these transgressions that make him the worst sinner. In verse 15, verse 16, we'll see the term foremost. In the Greek, that is protos. Foremost, not meaning I am number one in terms of I'm the first, but meaning in importance, first in importance, chief, principal. So Paul, he's giving himself this title and role to highlight just how amazing God's love is for him and for us. That Paul, as the best sinner, the highest performing heathen out there, that he received God's mercy and love. So one of the things that I just wanted to highlight from this passage today, just as a, I guess, an application or point to meditate for us, is just looking at the positioning of God and the positioning of Paul as Paul writes to Timothy, how he views himself and how he views God, and how he, I guess, lists that out for the readers. See, it's interesting because Paul is just talking about his story, how he was saved. And it's a very brief testimony. And as much as he is talking about his own story, you have to look at how Paul takes on all this, I guess, like negative attention, how he writes about himself. That, again, he was a blasphemer, persecutor, violent aggressor. He was ignorant. There was unbelief. He was the foremost sinner. So whenever he's mentioned, or whenever he's talking about himself, it's, this is who I am. I'm not worthy. I am a sinner. The depth of sinfulness is so great within me. And when he talks about God, God receives all the positive attention in these seven verses. I mean, verse 17 is a perfect example. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Like verse 17 is a summary of how he talks about God. Even in, it's not only how he writes about God, but what God is doing. It's very clear throughout these five verses that God is in the driver's seat. He is the one acting, and Paul is the one being acted on. That, you know, if we take the image of the potter and clay, God is the potter and Paul is the clay. Paul has nothing, no part to play except just to be, and God is the one acting. In verse 12, Paul is the one of the, Paul is the object of God's action. So there's three things that God does, right? And so God strengthens Paul. He considers Paul, or renders Paul faithful, and puts Paul into service. So God is acting on Paul three times. In verse 13, in verse 16, we see that God is the one displaying and giving mercy to Paul. Verse 13, Paul says, yet I was shown mercy. In verse 16, Paul says, I found mercy, in the NASB. But in the Greek, verse 13, verse 16, the word mercy, the word found and the word shown is the same word, and it's more so to receive. So it is actually God that is giving this mercy. And so we see this elevation of God and his role, and all the focus is towards God. Even in verse 16, again, where Paul is saying Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience, right? It's all about God. It's not about Paul. There's a lot of time, and I'm going to take a jab at one of the songs that we love to sing, but it's kind of true. And I mean, after I read this in an article, I thought about it. Like, yeah, you know, in the song, What a Beautiful Name, I think it's in the second verse, where it says, you didn't want heaven without us. When Paul writes that Jesus Christ came into the world to, that Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience through Paul, it's not because, yeah, it's not because Jesus didn't want heaven without Paul. It's rather that Jesus demonstrated his perfect patience towards Paul as an example for the entire world, for the whole of God's creation. Like, and it's like, Jesus didn't come down to the world to save me, to save us. Like, that's a very self-centered way of looking at it. Part of his purposes is to save us. But one of the reasons why Jesus came to the world was to reconcile the whole world to himself. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So it's not just us, but every part of his creation, Jesus came to reconcile to him. Not just, you know, little old me. Like, God, you love me so much that you came down just to die for me. Like, that is a very self-centered way of looking at it. It's not untrue, but I wouldn't put it that way. But my point is, the way Paul writes is, God is up there. The attention should be on God and not on me, and not what he does for me, but what God is doing. And, you know, as I reflect on this, it really, I get the sense, in some ways, I feel like Paul was a random choice. Like, it just happened to be Paul. You know, God could have accomplished the work that Paul did in the book of Acts through someone else. It just so happened that God decided to highlight Paul. Just like, you know, in the first part of Acts, from like Acts 1 to Acts 10, you know, we see a lot of Peter, and all of a sudden Peter disappears and there's no mention of Peter. But is it that Peter just said, like, all right, I'm done. Paul's on the scene now, and so I can, you know, retire? No, it's just that Paul was just being highlighted, just like there were many other people that were building the church at that time, but it's just that Paul was highlighted. So in some ways, Paul is like that random choice. And you know, taking that line of thinking towards us, you know, applying it towards us, you know, in some ways, we are a random choice as well. You know, the way that God decided to save us, it's his choice. It's not because of anything that we do. It just so happened to be us. And the work that we do as Christians to reach out to people and to evangelize and to minister, you know, God doesn't need us. Right? He wants to use us, but he doesn't require us to do anything to accomplish his purposes. Now, I want to say this. I mean, it doesn't diminish us. Right? I want to make that very clear. But it doesn't put us down, but it shows just how powerful God is. It's not this zero-sum game. If God is powerful, then, you know, we get less glory. I mean, that is true when, like, God is all-powerful and the glory isn't ours. But again, It's a subtle, I guess, distinction. It doesn't diminish us, but it shows us how powerful God is. Now, if that offends or bites at us, that we are, you know, randoms or pawns in God's purposes, might I suggest that we have an inflated view of self. You know, it's like, hey, I'm important, and so I deserve at a place at the table and to have a say. You know, my skills are valued, or I have skills and I should be valued, and God loves me and God should want to use me. You know, Paul understood that God had chosen him not because of anything that he had done. He understood this very well and was actually very accepting of it and allowed himself to be a pawn, so to speak. You know, he says that, yet for this reason, I found mercy. And this is the reason, so that in me, as the foremost, he's saying foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who believe in him for eternal life. So Paul says, like, yeah, I'm a total random. I just so happened to receive his mercy. I don't know why. Now that I have, I do have a job, but it's not because of anything that I am in and of myself, but I just so happen to receive God's mercy. And so for us, you know, one thing to think about is, you know, when we share about our lives and our testimony, like, how do we share? Do we talk about it in a way where, you know, we had obstacles in our lives that we could not overcome, and then Jesus came and then we were able to overcome our obstacles. Now we are able to triumph. Those aren't necessarily bad, because it does show the power of God, but it's, we have to be very careful. Where is the attention to? Is it because now I can live this incredible life? Or, you know, is that what our faith is about? Overcoming and, you know, having Jesus turn our lives better? Or is there something in addition to that? Is there something deeper? You know, look at how Paul articulates his testimony. It's not about overcoming his personal obstacles, because he doesn't mention any of his personal obstacles. He doesn't mention, like, oh, I have shipwrecked, but I was able to count on Jesus, and Jesus, like, rescued me. You know, people were trying to persecute me, and, like, I was stoned, and I was knocked out. I thought I was going to die, but Jesus raised me up again. The way that Paul speaks isn't about anything that he has done or overcoming persecution or any of that. But what he does is he highlights what God is doing for God's purposes. Again, verse 16, verse 17, the whole entire focus is on God and what he's done, not for what he's done for Paul, but simply praise for God. And so in that way, a question that I leave you with this morning, is for us, what is it that God is showing us about his purposes? And the question isn't, God, you know, what are you trying to do in my life? What is your purpose for me? How can I, you know, seek you out more? But maybe we should just ask God, what is your purpose? What is your heart? What are your dreams, God? And in my experience, it's not so much, and I don't like this. I really don't like this conclusion, but I'm learning to wrestle with it. But from my experience, it's not so much about what he wants to do in our lives, but more so about shaping and transforming our character so that when it comes time, we are prepared to do what he has called us to do. Our minds immediately go to, like, okay, I know it's about transforming character, but what is it that I should be doing? But I think that's a part of wrestling and transforming our character, that we focus more on the transformation process as opposed to, now this process is done, what can I do? And that takes quite a bit. And, you know, that takes humility, patience, that takes, you know, understanding our limitations. But I think it's a very important process and something that we should take time to sit and meditate on and just rest in that uncomfortable space. But yeah, you know, he wants to shape and transform our character more so than calling us to do certain things. So yeah, I'll pray for us and we can worship. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace, God. We thank you for the words of Paul and how he reminds us that the gospel, how you came to save us, is just a part of your purposes, Lord. I pray, Father, that as we meditate, as we worship, we could focus on you, Lord, that you will remind us of all the ways we try to take the glory from you and turn it back to you, Lord. Transform us, God. Purify us, refine us, Lord. We thank you, Father.
Daniel's in your hands, Daniel's in your feet. They tell me how much you love me. The throes on your wrath, they tell me how you born so ashamed to love me. And when the heavens pass away, all your scars will still remain, and forever they will say just how much you love me. My heart. is you. My life is you.
Thank you, Sterling. Yeah, just spend a few moments just reflecting and asking God, you know, Lord, what are your purposes? What is on your heart? Let's pray for those in our community that have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries. Let's pray for family members, pray for healing, pray for encouragement for them as they go through the season of their lives. Pray for those in a community with friends and family that are sick, or family members that are sick and have yet to receive Christ into their hearts. Let's pray for encouragement and perseverance for our members, that they would not lose hope and just continue to look to God for the work of His Holy Spirit. Let's pray for those in our community with just non-cancer related infirmities. Let's pray for healing, encouragement, and yeah, let's pray for these members. Let's lift up those looking for jobs, pray for opportunities and doors to open for our members. turning to our mission focus, let's pray for today SPSG, led by Sam Kim, SP Indonesia, led by P. Solomon, and SP Filipino, led by Pastor Ernie. Let's pray for all three of these congregations. Pray for God to do His powerful work, His transforming work, and that He would keep these three congregations healthy and safe in this time. Our education departments, I guess. Spirit for SP Kids, led by Lisa, SP Youth, led by Donald, and SPU, led by myself. Just pray for all the kids, all the students that are part of this program, and pray for God to, let's pray for Jesus, or let's pray that these students and kids would encounter Jesus even at a very young age. Pray for the prayer and healing ministries, IP led by Matt, the well led by Sarah, and River led by Rachel. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to move powerfully with these three ministries. Pray for our local outreach ministries, Igape, HOMI, SP Lights, Bridge, Recreation, and the evening outreaches for SP Lights and HOMI. Let's pray that even in this time when we can't meet people, that the ministry will be ongoing, that you know everyone in this ministry will find ways to connect with the people that they're ministering to, and that God will open up, will create a way for these ministries to actually reach out person to person soon. Let's pray for our moms, or pregnant moms in our congregation. Let's pray for healthy pregnancy. Let's pray that, you know, even for the moms themselves, that as they go through these 9-10 months, that God would supply them with peace, and that He would just watch over even their, I guess, their mental health during this time. Yeah, let's lift them up in prayer. And let's lift up the house churches for tonight, Colin and West, East Bay, McRobinson, Olympic, Robin Hood Ventures. Let's pray for a great time of fellowship, to pray for Holy Spirit to move, even though we're on Zoom. And yeah, that as these communities come together, they would just be able to support one another with prayer and just encourage each other in their faith. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Like Paul, Lord, I pray that we would all be reminded of the depth of our sinfulness, from where we have came from where you have rescued us, God. And Lord, may you fill our hearts with gratitude, with thanksgiving, with praise and glory for your name, Lord. And in our telling of our testimony, what you have done for us, God, I pray that we would just turn the attention to you, Father. I pray that you would draw us deeper in the things that you do, and that you would give us words to articulate your greatness, your majesty, Lord, your glory, your goodness. We thank you, Lord. Be with us, Lord. Continue to keep us safe, Father. We pray for the city, Lord. We especially just want to lift up a prayer for the kids in the city, God, that just watch over them, Lord. You protect them, God. Be with the families of those that had children pass away because of COVID, Lord. May your peace be with them right now, God. Just watch over us, Lord. We trust in you. We love you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us for EMP this morning. We'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye-bye.